You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 15 September. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb global headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Chantal marks U.S. inflation, that clicks update, Afrocentric results, and Karooooo makes an interesting small but interesting acquisition in that last mile delivery for e-commerce. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. TymeBank sees break even next year. That's quick. That's what, 3.5 years after launch. Discovery Bank looking for break even in 2024, as both are growing strongly. Business Day. Tech sees green shoots in battered real estate sector. Mall owner says malls have been transformed to respond to changing consumer shopping patterns. Morning markets are red all over the place. US, we've got the S&P off 0.6%, NASDAQ down 0.33%, in Asia, Sydney off 0.5%, Tokyo down 1%. Commodities red overnight, gold 1806. Interestingly, palladium below 2000 at 1979, platinum 928, and rhodium 15 to 40. The PGM basket has been, that pressure just continues. Rand 14.35. Top 40 opening call, looking for a 10-point green open. I think we can call that flat, with Tencent down 2.8% in lunchtime at Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Chantal Marks, our head research, F&B Wealth and Investment. Chantal, appreciate the early morning time. Let's touch on U.S. inflation first. The CPI number, 5.3% for August. That's after 5.4% in July. Is inflation peaked, or is this really getting too excited about decimal points?
Yeah, we're certainly getting very excited about decimal points. 0.1 decimal point now translates suddenly to the Fed having so much room to adjust their expectations for tapering. So, I mean, I think that the market is really looking for clues that there will be a little bit more flexibility on the on the Fed side. And they are grasping at straws a little bit at this point. But I think that the Fed stance hasn't changed. The Fed is still of the view that inflation is transitory.
Yeah.
And they are looking towards clues in the job market to garner whether or not the economy is healthy enough for them to raise rates. And importantly, whether or not the market has enough liquidity in it so that they can start tapering at some point. And it's important for the Fed to taper.
Yeah.
It's important that they build up that headroom so that when the next crisis inevitably strikes, they actually have some ammunition, similarly for rates. But they won't do it in an irresponsible way. But I guess the market's just excited that it does seem as if there's a little bit more leeway and the Fed's hand won't be forced. Although 5.3% is still pretty high. But I do think it reflects those supply chain bottlenecks and a whole bunch of other stuff that should resolve itself over time.
Yeah, and a lot of base effect in that. And of course, that should start coming down from September numbers. We'll wait and see. Bringing it back local, a Clicks update, giving some details on the unrest, more specific details. They've still got 11 stores closed. They got a Sasria insurance claim. What really stood out was the earnings growth, which was actually downgraded, which for Clicks, I mean, this is a stellar stock. If they're downgrading to 0 to 3%, that shows how tough it is.
Yeah, so I think that the main reason is just the timing of their year end. Mm. So they have an August year end, which means that they only had about a month for their Sasria claim to pay out. And from what I can read, only a third of that claim paid out. So 2/3 of the Sasria claim is expected to come through in next year, and that will then push up next year's headline earnings per share number. So if you look back on next year and this year, on average, it will still be very high, and it will probably be in line with the range that they guided for at the start of the year. But it does speak to how disruptive the civil unrest was, because this is a cash flow matter, right?
Yeah.
Ultimately, it is coming through in earnings now. It should normalize next year. But they've been without that cash. It's 726 million rand that they're putting through. That is huge. Thankfully, it does seem as if sales are ticking along. No hit really from the civil unrest, which I think is something to be quite grateful for.
But I take your point in that it's a timing issue. There's still half a billion to be paid. It's not there this year. It will be there next year, so it will come through then. Quick last one. We saw Famous Brands update for the 6 months, starting to look better, still got debt, but I mean, people are eating some burgers and pizzas.
Yeah, so I was quite encouraged by this this update. You have seen a bit of a slowdown from the 5 month mark, but I think that's to be expected, just given that the base is a little bit more demanding because you now looked at mid July to the end of August, and that's basically when the economy last year started opening up quite nicely. But definitely still picking up, and I think that there's still scope in signature brands. So signature brands are kind of their sit down restaurants, and I think that they still have scope to go there in terms of recovery. And importantly for these guys, it seems as if they could be moving closer to really seeing profits tick through and cash flow starting to tick through. And that will have a positive impact on debt ultimately. So, I mean, they've had a terrible 5 years. but, I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic that they have the worst behind them.
Yeah, and I like your point about the signature brands. Those are the sit-down ones. And that is, you know, the curfews and lockdowns. That really does hurt them. Chantal Marks, Head Research, F&B Wealth and Investment. Appreciate the early morning. A poll we're asking you on our Twitter and LinkedIn, that U.S. inflation, I mean, 5.3 versus 5.4. Is this the start of the downtrend, or are we getting overly excited about a decimal point change there? You can have your vote. You can have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Group Chief Executive from Afrocentric, Ahmed Bandekerb. Ahmed, appreciate the early morning. Results to end June saw revenue up 25.8%. HEPS normalized up 9.9%. You did see a decline in medical scheme membership, as well as people downgrading their plans. In census, I suppose it's a perfect storm. I mean, unemployment, you know, at what, 34%, which has been increasing, means some people are exiting, and it's just very tough out there for the consumer.
Absolutely. Good morning, Simon. Thanks for having me on your show this morning. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But having said that, it's actually been better than expected. Mm. So what I mean by that is last year when we saw, you know, that fall of 2 million more unemployed people, at that point in time, we did not see the impact of that in our medical scheme membership, which tells us that that membership or that unemployment was actually at the lower income segment that did not have medical aid. We've fallen slightly on medical aid membership, and that's largely as a result of losing one client. It was Sasolmed, that used to be a client. We lost them, so that accounts for about 70,000 loss of members. And then lastly, we have, you know, what's traditionally referred to as the buy-downs. And that also has been not as bad as what we anticipated. We have had about 10,000 members buying down. Now, finally, to put it in context, that's out of a universe of 3.9 million.
I get your point, and I suppose, I mean, you know, I know from my household budget, you know, medical aid's almost the first item I put in every month. I don't want to not have it, and, you know, if I can avoid buying down, I'm going to stick with it. This is one of the top priorities in households across the country.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're seeing that trend as well.
You picked up some more services from government employees medical scheme. You've already got that contract, but you're able to then also sort of add more to it. In other words, get more value, more income out of the services being offered. Is that one of those sort of incremental issues that you can sort of manage over time and to grow revenue streams?
Yeah, so GEMS actually has been one of our growing medical schemes in terms of the membership that they've had. So firstly, that's good news for us. Secondly, the contract that we secured again has been now for another 5 years. But as you rightly point out, it was managed care services plus some additional services as well. And that makes it a lot more meaningful for us going forward than what the previous 5 years was. And in addition to that, we also successful in securing the Polmed contract as well for another few years. So that leaves us with quite an exciting outlook over the next few years with certainty of income.
Your virtual care, which is a new product, I mean, telemedicine, the pandemic obviously has really brought this into the fore. But I mean, telemedicine is something which is you know, pandemic or not, this is going to be a large part of the future of healthcare locally and globally.
I believe passionately about this aspect of telemedicine and virtual care, and I'll tell you why. So yes, the pandemic has really helped to bring it to the fore. But if we really want to make a remarkable impact in the burden of disease of this country, which is, we've got a high burden of disease in this country, we need to figure out ways to make healthcare more accessible. And this technology of virtual consultations does make it more accessible. It takes it to the people that there's no reason why somebody cannot and should not consult with a doctor or a nurse, etc. It also helps tremendously to bring down the cost of healthcare because you can get the triage of services right. Consult first virtually with a nurse, then you can do a virtual consult with a doctor before you physically have to go see a doctor. It takes away the cost of public transport to get to a clinic, etc. It really is an answer for some of our challenges in the country.
That's actually more than I thought. I had assumed that this would be, for example, I live in, you know, a community outside Shlaban. I go to my clinic and perhaps the nurse there is able to patch me into an expert, a specialist. But you're actually saying I can do this from my home and make that even an easier and, as you point out, lower cost process for me.
Absolutely. So in our apps that we've launched and actually literally in the process of refreshing in the app stores, making it available for our members, virtual consultations are built in within that. So no further than a click a button away and you can be connected to a nurse or a doctor.
Last question. Your pharmacy direct business had a really, really good year, up 35% on the revenue, 35.2%. I mean, this is driven, I imagine, in large part by pandemic. But also, you're saying, you know, just people, you mentioned vitamins, people want shopping more. And again, sort of installing that trend. People tried things under the pandemic we hadn't done before, and now they've become a way of life for us.
Simon, there's a few big things that have taken place in that business, actually. Number one, when the pandemic hit and people were doing home shopping, no longer did you want to go stand in the store to get your chronic medication. So people then signed up for our services to get the chronic medication delivered to their home or work. So that's seen a big increase. The GEMS business, the Department of Health CCMD program, where we deliver the antiretrovirals, that has seen a little bit of growth as well. And then, as you rightly point out, the multivitamin sales literally just shot through the roof. Because that was all that everybody was stocking up on and buying. And so we've seen a big spike in growth there. That was further exacerbated, Simon, that we launched our online store. So along with your chronic meds, you can go a few clicks away on our store and get your over-the-counter medicine or multivitamins delivered with your chronic medication as well. So the model is working exceptionally well for us. We're doing well in excess of 1 million scripts a month now that we're delivering to people's homes.
At 1 million a month. We'll leave it there. Ahmed Bandeko, Group Chief Executive, Afrocentric. Appreciate the time this morning, sir.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Zach Callister, CEO of Karoo. Zach, morning. Appreciate the time. I want to touch quickly on your trading update. Really strong numbers coming through there for quarter ending August, 6 months, first half of the year as well to August. A strong period for you. Are you seeing growth in particular regions or is it general? And are those regions where maybe you're seeing growth where maybe pandemic is and restrictions are sort of coming back a bit?
Good morning, Simon. Thanks for having me on the show. So we've seen growth coming through in all the regions. Obviously, the pandemic has definitely been strong headwinds to all our efforts to grow. South Africa in the last quarter, we also had July with the unrest that also had a further headwind. But we continue to grow and we're quite happy at the 20% annual growth that we've achieved. But we certainly are gearing ourselves for stronger growth post the pandemic or let's put it with less restrictions. We envisage less restrictions in the near future.
Yeah, and you chatted before, and it's simply a process of those restrictions make it hard to do the job. The other deal you announced with that, you announced an acquisition of Pickup, a majority stake there. This is a local a last mile e-commerce delivery tech platform. That last mile in e-commerce really is the challenge space. I mean, you know, there's lots before that, but getting it from sort of the actual store where it sits or the warehouse into my hands, this is where Pickup plays and trying to make that more efficient.
So we've got on our platform, we've got Cartrack Delivery, which allows all our commercial customers, all our enterprise customers to do the last mile delivery and the proof of delivery and a lot of the operational management required to do the last mile delivery. What Pickup does, it takes it a bit further than what we currently do, and they're able to let enterprises also use crowdsourced drivers and professional companies. So I would say it's the next level of what we do. It's a more integrated platform, and we like the management team. We believe there's huge growth prospects in South Africa and outside South Africa, and it's on that basis that we've done this acquisition.
I mean, this really is, it's in a sense, I mean, value add, which is a, you know, an overused phrase, but your business is more than just tracking. We've talked before around how it's data, it's around analytics of that data and the like. And this is adding an extra sort of a part of the business offering to your customers.
What this does to our customers is it allows them, you know, sometimes they'll have surge in business and they aren't able to the demand. This allows them just to go onto the platform and to get drivers or courier companies just to automatically be able to deal with their surge in demand. It doesn't mean that they've got to go out and buy more vehicles, and it allows it on one platform where they can manage their vehicles plus the professional courier companies doing work for them and crowdsourced drivers as well on one single platform. And I think this is much needed market considering the huge spike that we've seen, and we see a lot of our, you know, a lot of our enterprising or commercial customers really struggle with the surge in demand and the inconsistent level of demand. So that's a lot of the customers don't want to allocate capital, and rightfully so, not knowing the future demands for the goods that they're busy delivering to households.
Yeah, I mean, you make that point that in the announcement that logistics is historically inefficient, historically, because you've got, you know, your fleets can't be optimized because of those peak demands. This manages that. Zach Callister, CEO of Karoo, appreciate the time this morning. That's it for today. A poll we asked you yesterday on our LinkedIn and Twitter accounts. We were talking around the local miners with Gary Boyson from Rand Swiss. We were asking, is it a buy, a sell, or a hold? 40% of you are holding. 40% of you are waiting. Only 20% of you are buying. But I got to say, those PGM basket prices are looking seriously under pressure. Gold holding its own, but the PGMs not at all. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Kodora, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.